Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Genesis. And coming up, we're continuing to learn from Abraham's life about the blessings of being obedient to the Lord. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 13 as we go back to basics.
Any of you that have known the Lord for a while, if you stop to think about it, you could probably think of a number of things similar to that have occurred in your life that maybe at the time that it transpired, you didn't see the hand of the Lord in it, but later on you look back and you realize, man, God brought that to pass. Can anyone think of anything like that? I know I can. I can think of a number of things like that. God allows a person to maybe they get a job transfer, and they don't want to leave. They don't want to move out of the area. They love where they're at, but they need the job. They don't want to let go of the job either. So, you know, they go with the transfer, and to them it looks like a huge mistake. And yet they find that where they're relocated to, something happens and things develop, and lo and behold, God had some amazing thing for them there that they never would have even been able to experience had they not been transferred. But initially, it looked so wrong, and it looked like, God, you hate me. And God has surely lost control of my life because he knows I want to live in Newport Beach. I don't want to live in Minnesota. But God's got something there. Or maybe you lose your job. And, you know, what has happened? I've lost my job. I worked so hard to get in the position that I was in. And I was, you know, just at that place where the security was there. And now I've lost my job. And God, where are you? And you probably don't even love me anymore. And God, it seems like you've forsaken me because I've lost my job. But then you find down the road something comes up. And you get another job offer, and you go into maybe even sometimes a whole new field that you never even imagined that you would go into. And then you get in there and you find all of these blessings, all of these wonderful things. And you think back, and you know, I never would have moved in this direction. I never would have thought to do this. If you would have told me this was going to happen, I never would have believed it. But you see, how do you explain that? You see, God is working sovereignly through the seemingly natural circumstances of life. And as Pastor Chuck has said so many times over the years, it's so true. God so often works supernaturally in very natural ways. But that's where we miss it, because we think, oh, if God's working, that, you know, surely it's going to be a great mystical experience, and, you know, there's going to be a voice from heaven speaking to me saying, you know, go east, young man, or, you know, something like that. But no, your boss came in and said, hey, you're fired. It's over. That was God speaking. So maybe it's a loss of your job, or maybe God has allowed a relationship to break up. And you thought, no, this was the relationship. This was the person. Oh, I could tell you stories. I know so many people that were dead set on a particular relationship and were convinced that this is the way to go and this is the person. And then something happened and it didn't work out. But lo and behold, they met another person further down the road. And man, oh, thank you, Lord, that you got me out of that relationship. One of my dearest friends who pastors one of the Calvaries up in Central California, we grew up together, and he was engaged to a gal, and they were set to be married, and we had the wedding rehearsal right here on this platform on a Friday night, and we went out and, you know, just did the bachelor thing, and then, you know, the next day came, and there I was in the morning getting ready for the wedding, and I got a phone call, and my friend said, the wedding's off. And I said, what? What do you mean the wedding's off? He said, you know, I didn't have a piece about it. I said, well, it seems like maybe a little bit too late to not have a piece about it. And he said, no, I just can't go through it. And he said, I told them. They hate me, yes, and they never want to see me again. And, you know, understandably so. So anyway, he didn't go through with that wedding. And that relationship ended. And sometime later, he ended up getting together with a mutual friend. And they married. And they've been married for over 25 years now. And they've got 3 wonderful boys. And they're in the ministry. And, you know, you can just look at the relationship now and say, man, this is God's will. This is God's perfect will. This is the perfect match. And yet, you know, at the time when he made the decision on his wedding day not to go through with it, it seemed like a huge mistake. But God was in it. God was working. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a setback. We could just go on and on with examples. But understand that these are the kinds of things that God uses to move us around, to get us to rethink things, to do the kinds of things in our life that we would not do ourselves. We wouldn't even understand much of the time that this is what we would need to do. And so this, like I said, is the overarching lesson of the life of the patriarchs. And we see that right here in the separation between Abram and Lot, but we're going to see it even more pronounced as we go further, and especially in the life of Joseph, we will see that. But what is the specific lesson from this season of Abram's life? Because I do believe that there is a specific lesson that we are to take away from this chapter. And this is what I believe it is. The specific lesson is this: God's full blessing is contingent on total obedience. God's full blessing, it's contingent on total obedience. Remember, this promise that God gave to Abram was, you know, in a sense at this point, it was a conditional promise. What did he say to him? Remember, as we go back into the 12th chapter, he said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all of the families of the earth will be blessed. So that's the promise. But what was the condition? The condition, as we've seen, was to get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house. And you see, until that condition was fully met, until Abram fulfilled the condition of total separation from his family, the full blessing was withheld. But the moment that separation was completed, the full blessing came. And notice in verse 14, Lot has made his decision, and he's moved east toward Sodom. And look in verse 14 what it says. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now. That word now is the key. And I believe that that word now is letting us know that the condition for the full extent of God's blessing to come upon Abram has now been met. Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Now, how did that full blessing come to him at that moment? It came in the form of a renewed sense of God's presence, as well as a renewed sensitivity to his voice. Now, I don't want to press this too hard, but if you look at the story, and I know there's probably some gaps in the story, in other words, all of the details aren't given to us. We don't know the time frame. We mentioned last time about having left Ur and gone up to Haran. That would have been a long journey. And then from Haran to come back down to Shechem. And we don't have any of the details of the journey or any of that. But it's interesting to me that you don't have further communication from God until Abram has completed the instruction God has given him. So remember, the God of glory appears to Abram while he is in Mesopotamia, tells him to get out. And from what we see in the text, there's no further word from God until he finally arrives in the land of Canaan. And again, going back for just a second to chapter 12, when he finally gets into Canaan, Abram passed through, verse 6, the land to the place of Shechem. And verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said. So after this obedience is completed, then once again the Lord appears. But from the time he arrives in Shechem until this moment here, there is no recorded anyway, there's no further encounter with God. There's no further communication with God. He goes to Egypt, as we pointed out. There's no record of him consulting the Lord. The famine comes into the land, and it just simply says he went down to Egypt. We know the trouble that he had in Egypt. We alluded to it earlier. And then he comes back. He again builds an altar. He worships, but there's no... He calls upon the Lord, but there's no record of the Lord appearing to him or communicating with him. But remember, he's still with Lot. But now that the separation has taken place, now the Lord appears and speaks to him once again. And so the full blessing comes in the form of a renewed sense of God's presence as well as a renewed sensitivity to his voice. It also came in the fulfillment of the original promise to give Abram the land of Canaan. Now notice what it says here in verse 15. God says there, look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, listen, which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. God gives them the land at this moment. This is the moment that God actually gives the land to Abram. If you go back to chapter 12, when he first comes into the land there in Shechem, God says, this is the land that I will give you. And the next time the land is referred to, God speaks of it as the land I have given you. So chapter 12, it's the land I will give you. I think it's chapter 17, it's the land I have given you. And it's right here in chapter 13 where God actually gives him the land. So he receives the fullness of the promise as he completes his obedience to the Lord. And then as we read on in the story, he walks the length, he moves his tent, and he dwells in a place called Hebron. And Hebron means communion or fellowship. So the picture now that we conclude with, going back to him being in Mesopotamia. And now all of this time that has passed, we come to, in a sense, kind of the completion of phase one of Abram's walk of faith. And he settles now in the promised land as the possessor of the land, and he settles in a place of communion and fellowship. That's a beautiful picture to me. Now, what is the application? The application for us is this. God wants each of us living in the full blessing of his promises. And the question that we must, each of us, ask ourselves is simply, is that where we're at? Am I living in the full blessing of the promise of God? Am I experiencing God's presence in my life? Because that's what we do as people who are in the will of God, walking in obedience to God. Now, of course, there are those seasons, there are those occasions when we go through times of dryness and periods of darkness. And it's not because I'm involved in some sin or disobedience. It's just a season that I go through. But I think for the most part, those are the exceptions rather than the rule. The rule is that we would be experiencing God's presence. Are we experiencing his presence? Are we hearing his voice? When you open his word, are you finding that there's communion taking place? When you're coming and sitting under the teaching, are you finding that it's not just information going in, but God's speaking to your heart? As you go throughout the days, throughout the weeks, as you go along, are you finding those times where the Lord's, you know, checking you in a certain area, or he's encouraging you in another area? You see, that is all indicative of a person that's experiencing the full blessing of God's promise, because we're sensitive to his voice. Are we seeing his spirit at work in our lives? Are we sensing that the Lord is leading us? As we go about our daily lives, as we go about our business, whatever we're doing, are we able to look throughout the day, maybe at the end of the day, or maybe at the end of the week, are we able to look back and say, well, you know, the Lord led me there, and the Lord, I've sensed the Lord working there. If that's not the case, we have to ask ourselves, is there some area of disobedience in our lives? You see, because disobedience will quench the Spirit in our lives. It doesn't have to be a huge thing. It's little disobediences that build up. It's little things where the Lord has said to us, maybe just in our spirit, he's checked us. You know, we're moving in a direction, Lord, you know, don't go that direction. And we press and we keep moving in that direction. Again, the conviction comes, don't go in that direction. Pretty soon, we just keep pushing on. Pretty soon, we don't feel any more conviction. And then we make the false, we draw the false conclusion, oh, I guess God doesn't really mind. He stopped bothering me. No, what's happened is my heart has become hardened. I've become insensitive through disobedience. So we have to consider whether or not that might be a possibility. Or is there some incomplete obedience? Like with Abram, maybe it is not so much a rebellion against God, but more of just out of a human weakness to go through with it is just, oh, Lord, it's just painful. I know that I haven't really followed through in that area, but you know what? That's just going to be tough. And sometimes we can draw back because of those kinds of things. But in the end, it really, you know, it puts us in a position of an incomplete obedience or a partial obedience. But a partial obedience or an incomplete obedience, in the end, it's going to rob us of the full blessing of what God has for us. The Lord wants us to dwell in Hebron. He wants us to be living in that place of fellowship with him. He wants us to be living in that place of communion. And that's where God wants us all to be, and he wants us to be there all the time, experiencing his full blessing. So, here's the final word on it. Surrender it all to the Lord. Remember the posture of the man of faith? Quietness and confidence. Lord, I'm turning it over to you. Lord, I'm going to take that step of obedience. I'm going to complete that obedience I started. I'm not going to any longer stagger at that last step. I'm going to take that final step and go all the way through. And as we surrender it all to the Lord, that's when we open the gate for the blessing to come. And you see, as long as I remain in a state of partial obedience, what I end up doing really is only hindering God's full blessing from being poured out on my life. And that's the thing that is, you know, to me, it's so utterly foolish to live that way. You know, when the possibility is there for the full blessing of God to be upon my life, why in the world, why would anybody in their right mind settle for something less than that? Why would we settle for the crumbs when God has prepared a feast and he says, come, buy, drink, eat, buy food without money, come and fill yourself. That's what he's inviting us to do. And the stories of the past are the prophecies of the future. And what God did in the lives of the people that we have recorded in the Bible, you know, they're little pictures for us of what God wants to do in everybody's life. And like Paul said in Romans, that the things that were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. So why did God tell us this story about Abram? Because he just wanted to record some history? Well, not totally. He did want to record some history. And obviously, there are more things that are involved than just my own personal experience. But God had these things written down so we could look at the lives of these people and we could say, so this is how God works in somebody's life. So this is what God does. So this is how God calls people. And this is what it looks like when God's blessing. And this is what can happen if we don't follow through in obedience, you see. So it's all here for us, personally, that we might learn these great lessons. The lesson being God's full blessing is contingent on total obedience. So let's obey the Lord.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Obedience and Blessing, and the resource number is B0026. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Our God, you reign forever. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.